We've been studying church history. We got all the way from eternity past, where we started about angels and spirits were created, and then God in eternity past, not in space and time, created the heavens and the earth. And then Satan destroyed it in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. God reconstructed the earth and put man on it. How many Edens are there?
Two.
Two Edens. The Eden where Lucifer reigned and the Eden where Adam reigned. And of course, Adam was kicked out of Eden because he sinned. Eden was the throne room. We had the curse. We have the age of conscience, responsibility, do good and offer blood sacrifice. Wickedness took place. We have in that period of time, we have an amalgamation of angels and humankind, according to the book of Enoch and in the sixth chapter of book of Genesis, that they were giants on the earth. Then, before the flood and after. After the flood, we know the names of some of the giants. I was studying Hebrew, and I'm kind of unusual. I read the lexicons. I read them like a book. I just start with Aleph and go all the way to Tau or Alpha and go all the way to Omega. And I read these lexicons, and I got to the point where I kept running into Goliath's brothers, the names of Goliath's brothers. I had not seen them, had not heard anything about them at all. And so I got all of their names down, I put them together. And these were Nephilim, and they were giants also after the flood. And then, and the area where they were so prominent in the land of Canaan, or Canaan, was there near Hebron, where the cave of Machpelah was. Joshua and Caleb, when they went into the land, Caleb went over there and he said, that's where the giants were. And there were 12 spies that went out into the land, and 12 spies came back. Only two of them gave a good report. The other one said, we're not able to take this land. Those are giants over there, and they will step on us like grasshoppers. We can't go in there. Well, Caleb says, give me that mountain. Caleb and Joshua was the only one that lived to go into the land of promise. And they went in there and took that mountain, by the way, after he was over more than 80 years old. We know that Jacob fought battles when he was very old, according to the book of Jasher, which is a history book. It's not inspired, but it's a history book. We go on down where we have the flood, and we have the division of the earth, and we have the division of the continents, Pangaea and Gondwana. Earth was all one piece of land, and then water, and then the earth was divided. Because mankind became so wicked there that they wanted to start a one world government, one world religion, but all of it was against God. So God divided the earth and confused the languages. Then we come to the point where God called out Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees. Now, I want you to understand this one thing. We have this chart behind me. I've been preaching in front of this chart for 50 years. The reason I do that is so that people can understand what period of time and history we're talking about when we're talking about the Bible. Now, when the ark landed, we have Noah, and then Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and these, this is what populates the whole world, okay? And they all come from this one area, and there was one great big what they call concentration of people where they were advanced civilization and everything, and that was called the Ur of the Chaldees. That's in Mesopotamia. A lot of people don't know what Mesopotamia means. What does Mesopotamia mean, Marilyn?
It's Mesopotamia. Between the two rivers?
The land between the rivers, the Tigris and Euphrates. And it goes down into the Persian Gulf. And that was a great fertile crescent, so to speak. Round through there, all the way into Palestine. Right down in Ur of Chaldees was the most concentrated form of idolatry. And you have to realize that Abraham was acquainted with Noah and his descendants.
Those people lived long lives, and some of them were still alive when Abraham was born or lived, and either his parents or they were not very far extent from his birth and his life. But they had gone into paganism, all of those people there. And God told Abraham, leave the land of your fathers and go into the land where I'll show you. And he did. And he went up there and he got as far as Haran. And then, his dad was dying, his brother died. And God told him to go into the land where I'll show you. Then when he got over there, he finally had that promised son. He'd had a son. He had Ishmael. Ishmael means God hears. By Hagar, a little Hamite. She was the princess of Egypt. That was Pharaoh's daughter. We know that Abraham went down there and lied to him and sold his wife. A used wife salesman, I don't know what he's calling him, like a used car salesman, went down there and sold his wife to Pharaoh. Pharaoh got in trouble and ran him out of the land, but gave him great wealth. Two times that would happen in history. When Abraham went down, and then when Israel went down, and there Jacob went down into Israel, and when they left with great wealth. They gave him money to leave. Pharaoh gave him money to leave the first time, and then Pharaoh gives him money to leave again, and all the people, they gave him silver and gold and brass and all these things. They left and went into the land. They had enough gold and silver and brass and copper and all that to build the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle there. That was a type of Christ to come. They go down into Egyptian bondage after Jacob went into the land of Egypt. God had to get Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees to do something with him. If he had stayed with his family, he could have never used him. They were all pagans. When Jacob went back there, when he went back there and got his wife, when he went back there and he wanted Rachel, he ended up with Leah, and he ended up with the her handmaids, he ended up with four wives, and he only wanted one. And that his favorite wife, the one he loved so much, Rachel, took her father's gods with him when they left. Gods. Idols. And Jacob, when Laban came there and says that somebody took my gods. He said, I didn't take your gods. He said, if you can go out here and find your gods any place, you can kill the person that's gone. We'll kill him. We'll execute him right here. That was his favorite wife, but they didn't find him. Idolatry. It was hard to get idolatry out of these people because mankind, Catholicism is a religion of idolatry. Paganism. It's right out of paganism. They worship not God. They pray to Mary. They pray to saints. And they ignore God. And Islam does basically the same thing. A religion of superstition. It's hard to get superstition out of people. People are naturally superstitious. They're religious because God's calling inside them, but they turn that religion or calling a God into a superstitious thing. They want a God they could see and feel and handle. Well, Egypt was a place of bondage for Israel, but they went down there and they built the cities of Ramses, etc., etc. But the tribe of Levi was never really slaves like the others were. The tribe of Levi is where the Kohens, the priests, came from. And they were gold and silversmiths. And you see the great treasures of the Pharaohs. This is what they did. They did the gold, all that workmanship. And when they went out of the land, they took it. And then Moses was sent down there and said, call my people out. And he went in there and they had a contest between God, Jehovah, and the pagan gods of Egypt, and God whipped every one of them. Every one of them was put down. through Moses. Through Moses, they received the five books of Moses, the law. The five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now, these books are very important because that's the foundation of who God is and what we are in those books. The book of Deuteronomy, Deutero, it comes, and by the way, the books are named from the Greek Septuagint, not from the Hebrew Bible. The Hebrew Bible, the first book is Bereshit, which means beginning, which is like the book of Genesis. Genesis comes from Genemai in Greek, and that means to begin. The book of Exodus, Wielei Shemot, in Hebrew, but it is Exodus in Greek. Exodus means the way out. Exodos. Ek, out. When we have exit signs, when you have exit signs, that's basically from Latin. It means out of it. This is how you get out of it. Go out this out of it sign. Exodus means the way out, the road out. Hantio in Lakota, Indian, the way out. Wielei Shemot means, and these names, it names the people of the sons of Israel in that book, and that how that they left the land, and God brought them into the land of promise. And then we have a period of hundreds of years where God dealt with Israel, first of all with the judges. That's where we, you know, we got Samson. You know, everybody knows who Samson and Samuel is pretty much. Samson was a guy that was real a bodybuilder, so to speak. Then let me tell you something about Samson. Samson may have been a little 90-pound weakling, but the power of God made him strong like he was. And we don't know what he looked like. In the movies that that people have played him, they've all been like Arnold Schwarzenegger and all these guys, real big guys. But maybe he wasn't that big. Maybe it was just the strength of God. Because we know that when the strength of God left him, that they just overpowered him easily. So it wasn't so much muscles as it was divine power that made him so strong. But there was the judges, and then we have the kings. God always wanted Israel to have a king. But they wanted a king like the rest of the nations to lead them out of war and everything. That's what they begged for. And then God gave them Saul. Saul means ask for. You ask for him, here he is, and he was a disappointment. The one that God was going to give to Israel was David. David was the least and the youngest. In the Bible, you always have the rejection of the firstborn. Our first nature is rejected of God. That's our Adamic nature. We're born into this world. We have an earthly mother and father, and we get the sin nature from them. Then when you're born again, you're born from above, and you have the nature of God in you that guides you. You're not sinless, but you are guided by the Spirit of God that's in you from then on. Moses gave us the five books of Moses. Deuteronomy means the second law. All of the people that heard the law read to them from Mount Sinai had died because they were disobedient, except for Joshua and Caleb and their families. And by the way, there weren't Kmarts and there weren't Walmarts and things back in that time. And God provided for those people for 40 years in the wilderness. They didn't have to buy another pair of shoes. I know that disappointed a lot of you women. Their shoes didn't wear out. That would be really terrible, wouldn't it? And their clothing didn't wear out, and that would be really terrible, wouldn't it? That you couldn't go down to Kmart or Walmart and buy you a new dress or shoes or whatever you needed. It all lasted all that time. They didn't wear out. And then God was going to lead them in the promised land. He had Joshua. Joshua was their first judge, basically. He took the place of Moses. We had the judges and then the kings. Then God called David as their king. And David basically brought all the lands around there under subjection of God. And they were a great witness to all the other lands. Then he had a boy. What was David's boy's name that became so famous?
Esau?
Huh?
Was it Esau?
No. David's boy.
David's
boy. Solomon.
What is it?
Solomon.
King Solomon.
King Solomon. That King Solomon had it all laid on to him. He inherited it. He didn't have to fight any wars. Muhammad said that Solomon went out and fought wars. Solomon didn't fight wars. Solomon was a type of Christ in the millennial reign. The wars have all been fought. Okay? Solomon had everything laid to and given to him on a silver platter, pretty much. What happened to him? Like children that have everything given to them here in the world today, they just go. He couldn't get enough. He was he had more stuff, palaces and this and that and a 1,001 wives. That's a lot of women. And he drank himself and drugged himself half to death. He said, there was nothing in this world going to satisfy you, because he said, I tried it all. He said, everything under the sun is weariness. Well, Israel was carried off in captivity into the Assyrian captivity and into the Babylonian captivity. Israel, the 10 tribes into Assyria, and the northern tribes into, or Judah that is, into Babylonian captivity. During the Babylonian captivity, the Jews wrote that set of books down there, the Babylonian Talmud. It was a commentary on the Bible. They began to worship not idols there, because they were idolaters, but they began to worship the Bible itself, instead of the God of the Bible. We have the Mishnah and the Talmud there. And they came back into the land. They built a temple. And here we are coming up to the time of Christ now. There were two Roman leaders, Anthony, the Caesar, one of the Caesars of the Roman Empire, Anthony. And then he had a girlfriend, a wife. She was a Greek girl. She was Greek. But she was the Pharaohess of Egypt, Cleopatra. Cleopatra. Anthony, the head of the Roman Empire, and Cleopatra, they decided to put their man in the land of Palestine, or Canaan, or Israel. And so they appointed Herod the Great as the king of Israel. Herod the Great was a descendant of Esau, not Jacob. That's not good. That's exactly. The lineage should have come down through the man that married was Joseph, wasn't it? Joseph's lineage, Joseph should have been on the throne of Israel, but he wasn't. There was an imposter squatting on that throne, and that was Herod the Great. And now when, you know, the truth always persecutes, the error always persecutes the truth, doesn't it? You never have true Christians persecuting anybody else. They may preach, they will preach the truth, and if it bothers other people, so what? That's the truth. Because that's what we're commanded to do, is preach the truth. Well, Israel had become idolaters again, and they idolized the Word of God. And they would pray with the Torah and kiss the Torah. And the Bible says, don't kiss the Bible, but kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And when the Son of God came into this world, John 1:1 is a very beautiful verse. It's the NRK, Ein Ho Logos, Kai Ho Logos, Ein Proston Theon, Kai Ho Logos, Ein Theos. That's in Greek. It says, in beginning. Singular beginning. Over here it says Bar Sheath in the book of Genesis. In one of the beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth. But there in Genesis 1, or in John 1 and 1, we have the oldest period of time in the Bible, which goes back into eternity past, before anything was ever created, before angels were ever created, spirits, or any material universe at all was created. In beginning, in archaic, in a preposition, page 137 in the analytical Greek lexicon, right up there. In beginning, locative singular feminine, first declension word. That's singular. In beginning, when nothing else was. When nothing but God was there. In beginning, ain, third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active, kept on being ho logos. Ho logos is a Hebrew idiom from the Hebrew Bible when it came to the name of Jehovah. Here. That's the word Jehovah right there. We don't know how to say it. Nobody can say that word. So when the Jews came to that word, they didn't know how to say it. They just say Hadabar. That means the word. Hadabar or Hashem, the name. That's two Hebrew words. Hadabar or Hashem. And John used, in John 1 and 1, he used the Hebrew equivalent, or the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew, which is Hologos. So it said, in beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. And then it says, Kai, Hologos, ein pros ton theon. And the word kept on being toward the God. In other words, the word kept on being inseparable from the Godhead. Jesus, even though God became flesh, Jesus was still God. He had now become, he had married himself into the human race by blood and flesh. Jesus became from the eternal Jehovah. He came into existence, the flesh and blood Jesus. In the Old Testament, we have what we call a pre-incarnate Christ. He walked and talked with Abraham and Adam in the garden, etc., etc., etc. But in space and time, God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And it says, and the word kept on being toward the God. And then we have another word, Chi, there. And Chi there is not a conjunction, but it's a strong adversative conjunction. Because, or but, the word kept on being God. And then in John 1:14, Marilyn, can you quote that first part of that in Greek for me?
In Greek?
Yeah. Kai?
Kai. Oh, logos starts again.
All right. Kai, ho, logos starts again. And it said, and the word became flesh for himself. That's what it said, his middle voice there. It's punctiliar action, but it's middle voice. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And when Jesus Christ was born into this world, Herod the Great, whom Antony and Cleopatra put on the throne, and who the Jews were following, because he was building them a beautiful temple worship, beautiful house, a real beautiful temple, the temple of God. You know, Jesus' own disciples one time, they were sitting on the Mount of Olives looking over towards Jerusalem, and they said, oh, look at how beautiful those buildings are. Look at how beautiful that is. Isn't that a wonderful, beautiful structure? And Jesus turned around to his church, his own disciples, and he said, there won't be many days left when there won't be one stone left upon another in that city. There won't be one stone left. And some of the other rascals were listening. And he also talked about, he says, if you destroy this temple, this naos, this dwelling place, in 3 days I'll raise it up. So these his enemies, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Hellenistic Jews, and the Herodians, these are all political parties like Democrats and Republicans and Independents, okay? They were all against Jesus. Except now, they've got one common enemy. Enemies make strange bedfellows. Enemies make strange bedfellows. So they all got in bed together, so to speak, and they went after Jesus. And one of the things they tried him for, he said, He said, you could destroy that temple, and in 3 days he'll build it back again. But that's not what he said, is it? He said that that temple would be destroyed. There won't be anything, one stone left upon another. But you tear this temple here, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And he did, too, by the way. And so now, Jesus is crucified on the cross of Calvary by the Jews. They demanded that Pontius Pilate, they demanded that he crucify him because they didn't have any power to crucify him. They didn't have any power to enact the death penalty. That was taken away from them. And so they asked, they demanded that Pontius Pilate crucify Jesus. They wanted him to die in the worst form of execution where he couldn't be raised again. And of course we know that Pontius Pilate declared Jesus innocent 5 times. Behold a man, I find no fault in him, he said. And they said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. So, Pontius Pilate, desiring to turn Jesus loose, he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the worst man in that prison out of here, the one that has absolutely raped their daughters, robbed their mothers and fathers, and even the high priest, and kidnapped him. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to get Jesus turned loose. He said, I'm going to take that criminal out here. He said, I'm going to tell him, do you want this criminal turned loose on you again, or do you want Jesus turned loose? You know what they said? Give us Barabbas. Barabbas was one of the leaders of the Jewish mafia. They called them stiletto men, the dagger men. The dagger men. The Sicarii. This convict, criminal, murderer, thief. They would go out there and they'd slip into the banquets and they had daggers, stilettos, the Sicarii. They called them the dagger men. And they were very sharp. They were short daggers. And they were double-edged. And they'd slip in there. And they'd walk up beside a Roman soldier. And they'd slip that dagger out underneath the coat. And stick it right here in his stomach, right where his ribs come together. And twist it in his heart. And walk off. And they were doing this. And later on, they went down to Herod's fortress, Masada. You heard about Masada, haven't you? You know where all the Jews were killed? That 10th Roman Legion went against them and built that big bulwark, that ramp that went up in there. And then when they finally got up there to go over the walls of Masada, that all the people had killed themselves with this stiletto. But some of them escaped and went down and founded the island of Sicily. The Sicilians are the Jews. The Jewish mafia, mafioso. Because they wanted this man turned loose, the whole nation of Israel would be ravaged. They made the wrong choice. I'll turn this outlaw loose among you again to go and ravage your wives and kidnap them and hold them for ransom so you'll give them money so they can support their insurrection. We have insurrection in America from one end of it to the other. The whole in 2020, didn't we? From one end of it to the other. Raping, pillaging, ravaging, burning, destroying. That's what the Sicarii was doing in the land of Palestine. Well, now we come up to the church age. The church has already been started. And now we're going to see the conflict that happened. Jesus founded his church, Matthew 16. He said, you're Peter, and the Catholic Church founds the church on Peter. But what it says there in Matthew 16, he said, you're Peter, but upon this great foundational rock, myself, I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not be able to wrestle her down. Matthew 28:18-20, he said to his church again, he said, as you've been thrown out into the world, make disciples, teaching them to hold make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to guard with lives all things that I have given to you. In other words, the Word of God and the ordinances and the doctrines of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we live in the church age, probably toward the end of the church age. At the end of the church age, there's going to be a rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 8 through 16 through 17. And then Israel would be brought back to God. In the book of Hosea, it says that two out of three of Hosea's children were bastard children, illegitimate. At this period of time, two out of every three Jews are going to die and five out of every six Gentiles are going to be killed by this empire that comes upon the world. At the end of that time, Jesus is going to come back, Revelation 19th chapter, and slay them with the sword of his mouth. And we're going to bring in the millennial reign for Israel. Now, the church is with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the tribulation saints. We have people going into the millennium in their bodies. Not one person lost is going to go into the millennium, and that is Epitaskes, El Haaretz. It's going to be upon this land, this earth. Now, God's going to change the earth a lot during that time. But the center of worship in that earth for 1,000 years is going to be Jerusalem. If where Jerusalem is, it's real Jerusalem in real land of Palestine or Israel. For 1,000 years, people will worship God. At the end of that 1,000-year period of time, Satan is going to be taken here at the beginning of this and thrown into the bottomless pit. And every demon and every fallen angel is going to be there with him. There won't be any satanic or demonic influence upon the human race at all for 1,000 years. And man is still going to be bad. God's going to prove that. You don't need the devil to make you bad. You're bad for on your own. You don't need anybody. You don't need any help at all. And then we have the great white throne judgment at the end of time after Satan is judged. He goes out and he goes. And Satan, demons and fallen angels are territorial, aren't they? We learned that in the Bible. Now, the most hellish, God-hating people in the world are the Islamic people. And the center of that is in the Middle East, isn't it? And if you go over there where the church is, where the seven churches of Asia, where the book of Revelation is written to, now that is the seat of the Islamic Empire. It was part of the Ottoman Empire for so many times, and it dissolved in 920-something. But they're all looking for the reincarnation of the Islamic Empire. Those lands where those people are, Gog and Magog, over there in the land of Asia Minor, that's the very people that are going to rebel against God. Demons are territorial. And that influence is deeply seated in that land. And those are people are going to rebel against God, and then God's going to whip them. That's the battle of Gog and Magog. Then we have the white throne judgment, and then we have eternity future. Now let's go back. Our next class is going to be the church age. What's going to happen during church age? Is Satan laying back in the church age, or is he very busy? Has he left God's churches alone, or what has he been trying to do to God's churches all that period of time? Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory, to help people understand your word and the history of your people and you. Father, please use it in every land throughout the world to touch people's hearts, to be saved and then to serve you. Please forgive me where I failed you.